Well, good morning, everybody. How's the world out there? Even in Florida here, it's kind of drizzly, a little cloudy, but we're expecting highs in the 70s today. And not all bad. I mean, I was looking at the Weather Channel this morning, and it's minus something, and freezing and drizzly rain and freezing rain and sleet. And to be quite honest, there's none of that here. We've got a little bit of drizzle, a little on and off rain showers, but the only thing it is doing is the fronts are affecting the fishing.
Yes.
You know, and people always comment on, well, you know, it doesn't really affect it that much here and there. And the deeper the water, the less effect the front has. But a lot of our fishing is done in 3 feet of water or less.
Absolutely.
So that 3 feet of water, as the atmospheric pressure presses down on the water, you know, the atmosphere presses on our bodies, and we feel the pressure of the air around us. And if you're a fish with a little swim bladder, the effects are much more drastic, because air pressure affects water pressure. And so the shallower the water, the more they're affected by these changes in air pressures. And that's why I think fishing in the Gulf is so good right now.
Yeah. I mean, depending on the depth of water, you're 1 to 2 to 3 atmospheres down.
Right. So,
you know, so it doesn't phase it at all.
It's once you hit that, every foot of water you go down, the less affected it is by atmospheric pressure. And when you get into 30 feet of water or so, you get very little effects. And by the time you're hitting 60 feet of water, the effects are almost non-existent.
Right.
But when 1, 2, and 3 feet of water, much more drastic. I mean, multiplies exponentially as you get shallower.
So, well, and that being said, also people laugh at us when we say, you know, it's rough out there. You know, why go out there and it's only 3 foot seas? The water's harder in shallower water.
Oh, yeah.
30 feet of water, but it's a 3 foot sea. It hurts.
Yeah. You and I were doing a job, one of the jobs I had up north, and we were in this scaffolding boat that I had built, and we're going across, and we're in 4 or 5 feet of water, and the boat's riding fine. Well, we have to cross a channel with had 50 feet of water in it. And remember that, how that boat wallowed around? I mean, it was everything I could do to keep that thing upright.
Absolutely.
And the waves were the same height. But the shallower the water is, the harder it is. It compresses less. The deeper the water is, the softer it is, the more it compresses. And that's a big difference.
Huge difference.
And same thing with temperature. But yeah, remember, I didn't lose it. I guess I really didn't come that close. But I got to tell you,
it was a little hairy. But
it was a lot harder to control a vessel when you're in that water, because the boat just kind of goes up and down. When you go out in a boat across the flats, it's just skimming the surface. And
right.
It's what allows our boats to run so shallow, is that water so hard. But you take that same boat, and I know when I'm back in 2 feet of water and I'm going across to, you know, 35, 40 miles an hour, just skipping along, you know, on top of the water, and I get out in the Gulf and I'm in 30, 40 feet of water with it, and it's sitting in the water.
Yeah.
It's down several inches further than what it is when I'm back on the flats. And going to sneeze?
Yep.
You're allergic to me. It had to happen. You know, you would think over time you'd build up a tolerance. So anyway, coming back into the realities of the world, let's start down by Sanibel today.
Down by Sanibel. All right.
We got some sharks down there, bonnets, some Atlantic sharp nose.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising how many sharp nose are around right now. Shouldn't be here.
No, they shouldn't be.
But
the water temperature shouldn't be where it's at either. You know,
we've got, the water's a lot warmer. It's in the 70 degree range.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, fish don't understand time of year.
Well, kind of they do, because they do relate to photo period a lot.
Okay.
You know, shorter days, longer days, winter time
is
much shorter days, summertime's much longer days. That plays an instrumental role in breeding.
Okay.
You know, so
I didn't know that.
And it's all animals, basically. You know, they don't really know that it's going to be winter time. They just know that it's coming up because of the photo period. The days are starting to get shorter, so they know it's going to get more time of less food. So time to really bulk up. You know, bears go into a real major feeding mode in the fall, trying to build up the layers of fat, just like our fish do. You know, snook, they go through that period of feeding on white bait, and then they transfer over into pinfish and mullet, you know, that has more substance to it to build up that fat reserves. Even though there's plenty of white bait around, they start to transfer over to those other food items to sustain themselves, and they understand that just because of the daylight part.
Okay.
Because the weather still stays the same temperature-wise. It hasn't made any drastic changes. We go by a calendar. They got to go by photos more, you know, the light period more than anything else.
Yeah, it's just so the shorter the day, the more they want to eat, because mm-hmm. they know they might not be able to eat later.
Correct.
So Key West has a water temperature of 74.5. Naples is 75.6. St. Petersburg is 66.6. So dropping us between 66 and 75, that puts us right around 69 degrees, 70 degrees.
Right.
We stay right about the middle. And that's,
but that's in the Gulf.
And that's the harbor's just a little bit warmer than that.
Mm-hmm. But I'll bet you some of the flats are probably pushing that 74, 75 in some of the areas.
That would explain all the shark activity.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go, it's not very far to get to the Keys. And for a fish swimming, it's 120 miles as the crow flies from Buckaroo Pass to Key West. And it's a little less to some of the other Keys. But one thing people forget is how the Keys turn north.
Yeah.
They picture the Keys going south and kind of in a southwesterly.
And the funny part, as long as I've been doing this, I still think of it that way sometimes.
Yeah, but Key West actually turns north from there. It's 84 miles out to the Dry Tortugas and 120 miles up to us. But even if you figure at 100 miles an hour or at 100 miles, a fish swimming at 2 miles an hour, you know, a couple of days he's in the Keys.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that big a deal, because fish swim all day, all night. Most of them, they do. Some of them do lay still and sleep, but
right.
You know, a lot of the fish actually travel. They shut their brain down, like many humans on the interstate. You know, you watch this phenomenon in humans, animals, all this. They're driving down the interstate. They turn their brain off. They run on the stem cell part of it that keeps them breathing and everything, but they're not thinking. You know, they just kind of in automaton movement.
Nice analogy.
Well, just go out to I-75 and tell me it's not true.
Just go out to 41.
Yeah, well, 41, that's a little different, but I-75 is a whole other ballgame. It's funny, you go on I-95, people drive in the right lane and pass in the left lane and do all that, but they're city people. They're used to doing this.
Right.
And in I-75, it's more the Midwest crowd, not as many people in the cities. They drive in the left lane and wonder why they can't go anywhere.
Right.
You know, it's like, just because you're in what we call the fast lane, driving 70 miles an hour does not get you there any quicker.
I got a question in regards to that. Why is it that all of a sudden recently, in much drastic numbers during the rainy season, people feel obligated to take up all the lanes on any of the interstate, on top of throwing on their hazards?
What's up with putting on the hazard lights?
Get out of the way. Get in the far right lane. Get out of the way. Pull off to the side road. Whatever you got to do, but don't take up all three lanes. Put on your hazard lights. Your hazard lights are not for that.
If you see a problem in front of you, like you're coming up on top of a hill, and you see a problem in front of you, hit the hazard lights so that the people behind you know there's a problem. But if you're driving in the rain or the fog, what, you don't think the rest of us see it?
Right.
You freaking morons. Now, the people around you can't see because right. Your lights are blinking so bright. You can't tell if you hit the brakes. We can't tell if you want to turn left or right. That's what your lights are for.
Right.
You unbelievable, idiotic, ridiculous people, don't use your hazards in the middle of a problem. We know it's a problem. You do it before you get to the problem. And once right. You're in the heavy rain or the fog or whatever, use your regular lights. We're all there. Glad you turned on your flashes so we know it's raining hard.
And thanks for blinding me in the process. Yeah. So we can't tell anything.
So now I've got to do whatever I've got to do to get away from you morons.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Oh, don't even get me started.
It's just weird because it's become such a problem in the last like 3 or 4 years. It's always been a little issue, but it's like the last 3 or 4 years, it's like every time there's a thunderstorm, day or night, what the heck?
Yeah. Gee, you're the only, thank God for you. You noticed the rain. God, I was sitting there going, what is all this? What is all, oh, you've got your hazards on. It's raining. Freaking morons. Anyway, yeah, I can't, you shouldn't even get me started.
Sorry.
On that. I just absolutely makes me nuts. Well, I'm all wound up now. Let's go out to an interstate with a, you know, missile launcher.
At least you don't need your coffee now. Got y'all good and going right first thing in the morning.
Oh man, that's it's wrong. I shouldn't get that way, but it's really dangerous. But people have become pack animals.
Oh,
I mean, seriously, pack animals. I mean, they're like packs of dogs. You're going down a road, and there's a car there who's doing the speed limit in the correct lane to do the speed limit, and he's not going too fast or too slow. He's just driving along. And there's people coming up behind him, exceeding the speed limit just a little bit, you know, in a hurry, got to get there, you know, doing that 3 to 4 mile an hour over the speed limit, you know, where you're pushing the limit a little bit. And they get right next to the other car, and they got to slow down and match its speed.
Yeah.
They don't, it's like, uh-oh, I can't go around this. There's, it's like they have a tractor beam, you know. It's like, oh, I'm bound to this. The gravitational force of that other car has stopped me right here.
Yeah.
They just feel safe and secure. So you got three lanes and one person driving along, not minding their own business, just, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. And then you've got two, three, four other idiots that come up and just stop with them. They're matched their speed.
Yeah.
It's like, are you kidding me? You know, I'm the guy who's sitting there. There's a big pack of cars up there, big pack of cars back there, and I'm that guy sitting there all by himself in the middle of it. I don't need the protection of other people. I'm absolutely capable of dealing with life on my own. I don't need to be in a group to feel secure. It's insecurity, I guess. I guess if they're so used to being with people on TV, people around them, people that they get by themselves and they get scared.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the explorer part of us?
It's gone.
Know? Oh, there's still a few of us out there.
Well, there's always a few, but
you know,
it's not the number that it used to be. I mean, we're talking on the news this morning about people with cell phones having separation anxiety when they don't have their smartphones with them.
Oh, yeah. No, cell phones are the cigarettes of the 2000s. What happens is cell phones cause cancer. Cell phones cause problems. Cell phones give you a false sense of being tied in with people, and that's probably where the problem comes in. Didn't think about it, but that's probably it. Yeah, I'm absolutely positive. You probably hit the nail right on the head, and what's causing people to pack up on the roads and the interstate and drive in these huge bunches, which annoys them, you know, as much as it does everybody else. They annoy themselves.
Yeah.
But I think it's the phones that have caused this.
Mm-hmm. Computer age.
Yeah. They look on Facebook, they go to Twitter, they've got their phone, they're constantly talking or being with somebody.
Social, you know, and it's not even a physical social. That's the sad part.
Yeah, they just have to be near people. They don't actually want to interact with them.
Right, exactly. So, they want to know everything about everybody, but they don't want to actually physically talk to them or deal with them.
Anyway, is this a goddamn fishing show?
Yeah, how are we going?
Yeah, okay.
We're turning into Howard Stern.
Yeah, we're 15 minutes in, and we've tried to talk about fishing 3 times, and we just don't make it. Okay, right, boys and girls, we're sorry. We're gonna come back. We're gonna mark this one as random talk session number 17.
Frankisms.
Okay, it's just what we need. Frankisms in the world. Oh God. Anyway, but hey, at least we figured out these problems of the world.
Well, so we could go into more stuff if you want.
Yeah, I know we could. That's the sad part. Okay. But on a random thing, we're going to end this segment here with a little bit of talk about our tent sale. And then we're going to come back with the area fishing report on another one, so you don't have to wait 15 minutes to hear it. What's really, really neat this year, we've got a bigger lineup. Every single person on who was here last year at the tent event is back this year. We've got AFW, Bomber, DOA, Finor, Gary Loomis is coming back. Eric, the owner of Mirlure, is bringing his daughter with him, and she's a phenomenal fisherman, and you're really going to enjoy checking out the Mirlure stuff. Every lure company that shows up, we give them a casting tank so you can see the proper way to work these lures, because confidence is the biggest catcher of fish of all.
Absolutely.
Nothing like confidence to catch a fish. And if you're sitting there and Eric himself, the owner of the company, is showing you the secrets to working an MR-17 or whichever lure, you know, you're looking at, you're going to go out and catch more fish. It's going to happen that easy. And then we got Mark Nichols, the owner of DOA, who is the clown of clowns. I mean, he is a class clown.
Yeah.
I mean, what a goofball. Probably, I would have to say, one of the nicest people in the industry. And there's a reason DOA is the big, huge force in the industry it is. And that's, a lot of it is Mark. I mean,
I'd say that is the reason.
Because,
I mean, it's not just his plastics work, but just him.
Just him himself. Yeah. I would not even, you know. Yes, Steve.
Machine guys here.
Okay, be right there. Okay, but Mark Nichols is the most amazing guy you're ever going to meet. And watching him work baits in that tank is, it's like a work of art. I mean, absolutely amazing. Now, Wes, a good friend of mine, he's the owner of Rattle Traps. We are working on getting Wes down here for the show. You're going to really enjoy talking to him. Great guy. Go to fishandfranks.com, click the tent event sale button. And we got Lick'em Lures coming. That's a local product. We got the owners from Lick'em Lure going to be here. Penn, the CEO of Penn, is coming back. Mike will be here. Gary will be here. Gary's always a crowd favorite. He gives great deals, unbelievable information. I got to tell you, one of the reasons I'm just absolutely crazy about Penn, I watched the CEO of Penn, because they did not have a specific type of reel, sell another brand because it was actually more what the customer wanted.
Right.
I mean, this guy is a class act. I have never met anybody like Mike.
Absolutely.
I mean, what a class act. Pure Fishing, Quantum, Rapala. We got one of the family members from the owners of Rapala going to be here, along with, I believe, their national sales manager. And Jim, of course, will be back. Everybody loves Jim. You know, that guy is just, he's 100% goofball. Just one heck of a sense of humor. You got to love Jim. And now keep in mind, Storm is Rapala. They are the same company. And so when you're buying that Storm, the number one fish catching lure in existence right now, nothing catches fish like the Storm.
Nope.
I mean, the Storm Twitch, and there's no reason for it. It's like the Mirror Lure Little John. There's a couple of lures in the world that there's no reason for them to work so well. They just do.
DOA Bait Buster.
DOA Bait Buster. Terrorize. The DOA Terrorize does a great job too. I mean, there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. And but they're going to be here. Rockport Rattler, Charles and Vicky, they're hoping they're going to be here. Barry, the owner of Star Rods, will be here. Larry from T's Tackle will be here. The owners of Flambeau are coming. Flambeau is the tackle box company, and that's going to be cool. I mean, we've never had a tackle box company come before, and we all need a tackle box. And let's face it, they're expensive.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to come and meet the people from the factory, be able to get some, you know, hands-on, one-on-one action, you know, talk with them. So to find out what's the best type of box to use, what's the best way to store your lures, what's the best way to help prevent them from rusting, because Flambeau's got these anti-rust things that go on. They've got all kinds of cool stuff, and it's going to be a really, really cool year to be at the tent sale.
Absolutely.
And it's one-day event, and there's nothing else like it in the world. Because when you walk up to the AFW booth, you're going to talk to Sean, the national sales manager. He knows every single product there is, and he knows what they're for and how to use them. And, I mean, it's the only chance you're going to have until next year of actually meeting and greeting with the owners of these companies. Reaper Rods with that microwave guide system. Tim is going to be here, the owner of Reaper Rods, and he can explain to you how the rods work, what's going to go on with them, and who else is there? Akuma. We may be bringing in Akuma this year. We're waiting to find out. The factory guys are pretty excited about coming. We're waiting to find out who exactly is going to come and what they're going to do. They've got some new lightweight reels
out. That'll be nice, something different.
And so Akuma, I believe, is going to be coming to the show. That's not set in stone yet, but Flambeau's definitely going to be here, and Akuma, I would say 80% chance they're going to be here too.
Good.
But yeah, it's going to be a really, really interesting show, and it's the only one like it in the United States because it's the only one where you get to talk to the factory.
Absolutely.
And
factory / owners.
Yeah, I mean, half the guys you're going
to
talk to.
Who gets to talk to an owner of a tackle company?
And Robert and I, we would go to these buying shows, and I've been doing buying shows since 1985. And the one thing that always annoys me is when I walk up to the booth and there's some fishing guide dressed up like he works for the factory who doesn't know as much as I do about the product.
Most of the time he's dressed up like a billboard.
Yeah, I mean, they got patches all over him and everything. For some reason, that's cool. But, you know, there will be a lot of fishing guides on the property that day, but they're all the ones that work for Fish and Frank's or out of Fish and Frank's. Captain Tom Fisher is going to be there. He usually mans outside. He does a lot of the combos and stuff out there. We've got Captain Kale will be here. Captain Carl will be here. There's a lot of fishing guides to talk to. I think Josh will be here. Who else is coming? I mean, there's a lot of other guys.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if there was 12 of them. Bart will probably be here.
Yeah, we're probably going to have 12 or 15.
Dwayne will be here.
Yeah, Dwayne, Captain Dwayne French.
If not, we just voluntold him.
Yeah, we voluntold him. it's absolutely, if you want to talk to a fishing guide and learn about what's going on, there will be a bunch of them on the property that day. But they are not pretending like they work for the factories. They are all Fish and Frank's crew.
Yeah, they're here to help us.
And they're here to help you figure out what you need and help you with your tackle decisions and stuff. But when we would go to the buying show, we would meet the owners of the company, spend our 2-3 minutes with them, get to talk about our, get our questions answered and all that, and then do our buying. And that's what we wanted to bring to you guys. And it took us, many years to do this. We've been doing this for, 8-9 years now? 8 years? I think.
7 or 8, I think.
7 or 8 years. And we started off with 3 companies, 3 factory reps, and now we've got this lineup of the most powerful people in the fishing industry that show up here at Fish and Frank's. It's absolutely staggering.
And they're genuine and they care. I mean, they want to hear pros, they want to hear cons, they want to hear
but all in a reasonable adult fashion.
Yeah, yeah, they don't want you to come out nagging them.
Yeah, if you're going to come for a bitch session, don't.
No.
Stay away. I don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. If you're an intelligent, thinking human who has good questions and wants to know, and if you've had a problem, you can say, this is the problem I've had with this. Why is this going on? Is there anything you can do to fix this? Because I love the product, but this is a real problem, and I have a hard time buying it because of this.
Right.
And this is what you want to do. You want to get that intelligent questions in, ask intelligent questions, receive intelligent answers. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
If you're looking to come and, here's free hats and here's this and here's that, don't come. Yeah. They don't want you here. They don't want you here. You could possibly end up with some free stuff. There's never out of the realm of possibilities. But this is not a trade show. This is your chance to talk to these people, to get your questions answered, to figure it all out.
And get the best deals you're ever going
to
see.
Oh, yeah, there's some smoking deals on this stuff. I mean, 10 to 50% off.
Yeah, I mean there's deals that we won't even know about until the day of the show.
I heard about one of the things they were going to do with the rods. I mean, and I was like, holy cow. And Mark Nichols has got some killer deals coming this year. Yeah, really cool. I've been talking to a couple of these guys. And we've got some of the best deals we've ever had.
It's good to be
products.
The king. You get all that inside information.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not actually allowed to talk about most of it. because the factories come and do what they want to do, and we get that back end of it, And so we get incentives, buy programs, all this other kind of stuff that makes it, because we're not making we're making very little money that day. Right. But anyway, we got to get going. We're going to be back in just a little while with an actual fishing report instead of just a
babble session.
Yeah,
sometimes we need to do that, though.
Yeah, I know. We ended up with a babble session, and what the heck. So anyway, we will be back in just a little while with Area Fishing Report. Robert, Fish, and Frank will be back.